Welcome to Karen Orr's official podcast. We're a Messianic synagogue in Savannah, Georgia. You can find us on the web at www.shalomsavannah.com.
A lot of things we're going to go into tomorrow, and this is not a Torah service, so we're not going to open up the Torah. We're not going to process the Torah. This is a candid shot. So we have a lot of different things that we're going to talk about with the Torah tomorrow, but traditionally for Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah and the High Holidays, we have things that are done a little bit more special than other times. So you see I'm wearing my white kippah. We typically have white for the High Holidays, especially for Yom Kippur, but typically for all the High Holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. And we typically have a different Torah cover or a mantle, as it's called, for the holidays. Our normal everyday one will be just normal colors. We're actually going to have some, well, I don't want to give it away, but we're going to have some other colors that we're going to be doing. But it's just a blessing to have the Torah here, because as I've mentioned before, you know, a Jewish synagogue needs a Torah, right? That is the one defining piece or thing that tells that you are a Jewish synagogue. You know, in Eastern Europe, when things were going crazy with Nazi Germany and they were bombing, and in Poland and in Germany, it's just amazing stories of like Torahs would survive. And, you know, that was a defining characteristic of a synagogue. And so while this Torah did not survive the Holocaust, although you can buy some for a hefty sum that have survived the Holocaust, this is an Eastern European Torah, just so you know. And the same Torah clearinghouse that we got this through also sells Torahs to Israel. So if you were to go into a synagogue in Israel, you could find a Torah just like this from the same place, essentially the same scroll. So it's really exciting to have it. It's exciting to have it also because right before the holidays, you know, we debuted the Torah last Shabbat, and that was really special. And tomorrow we're going to process the Torah for the first time, which is where we take it out. We'll bring it around kind of in a figure eight, and people get to touch the Torah. And again, we're not idolizing the Torah. That's not what it's about. It's revering God's word. Okay? It's basically saying, God, we're honoring you, and we're honoring your word. And we talked about how the Torah can represent just the first five books or the whole Bible in general, God's word in general. And that's what we're revering. So we're revering God, not the creation, not those things. But tonight, you know, there's two common themes, maybe three, for Rosh Hashanah. So I thought, you know, there's so much to talk about. What do I want to talk about Rosh Hashanah? Because we're a brand new synagogue. And I just love the fact that we're here after so many years. There's a synagogue in Savannah, Georgia. You know, there's a long history and a long presence of Judaism in this city. Most of you know this, but my wife tells me I repeat everything about five times. I'm getting old, so you see all my gray hair. So I'm going to repeat it, but that's okay. So Savannah is like an old city, as you know, but what's interesting to me is when General Oglethorpe came and they settled the city, pretty much right away, Jewish people came to the city as well. And Savannah has always been very tolerant of Jewish people historically. And I found it funny because as I was reading, they weren't very tolerant to other types of people, which is ironic because Jews are the most persecuted people in the whole world. No matter where you go, Jews are being persecuted throughout the centuries, no matter where you go, no matter what you see. But I found it really interesting that Oglethorpe in the city of Savannah let the Jewish people come, let Jewish people settle. And mainly Sephardic Jews settled, which are Jews from Spain and the Iberian Peninsula, settled in Savannah. But they didn't let Catholics in, which was interesting to me. So the Catholics couldn't come in Savannah, but the Jews could. So there's a huge history of Judaism, but sadly, there really hasn't been a full-fledged Messianic synagogue in Savannah. And there's been many attempts. And I found that out ever after I came here. Two different rabbis I heard from wanted to start a synagogue in Savannah. And we're just totally blessed that God used us. I still don't know why he used us, but we're here and God's used you because you've come here. You've come here to be a part of this. And I'm just so excited to be here in Savannah, Georgia, in a Messianic synagogue for Rosh Hashanah, talking about these things with the Torah. It's just unbelievable. So anyway, that was my digression for tonight. I can't promise that it'll be my only digression, but that's my uh-oh. I thought I put it on airplane mode and somebody just tagged me on a photo on Facebook. I'm sorry. My wife. Anyway. So I apologize. I get excited sometimes, and then I lose track of what I'm talking about. Have you ever been there? Erev Rosh Hashanah, tonight, we're going to be unfocusing. We're going to be talking about a couple of themes. So let's read again from Leviticus 23 to set the stage. Leviticus 23, 23 through 25. Again, this is the chapter in Leviticus where it talks about the feasts of the Lord. It actually starts off with the Shabbat, the day of rest, the weekly day of rest that we have, and then it goes through all of the feasts or the holidays. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with blasts of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to the Lord." Now, what's interesting about this is you will not see the mention of Rosh Hashanah, the name, in the scripture. It is on the first of Tishrei, but it actually is the day of blowing the trumpets, or Yom Truah, HaTruah, which is blowing of trumpets or blowing of the shofar. And later on tonight, we're going to blow the shofar. But what's also interesting is it's on the first of Tishrei. So here we are in the Hebrew calendar, and we've just passed over this month called Elul. We just finished this month, which is really the month of preparation. Elul historically is a month of preparation. And then you get into Tishrei, which is at this time of the year. And the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah, which we are at tonight. But the actual new year for Judaism is in the month of Nisan, which is in the spring. That's the actual new year. But Rosh Hashanah has taken on this significance as the new year with the rabbis over the centuries because it's a spiritual new year. The new year in the spring is mainly tied to the agricultural, because remember, the Bible was at a time when we had agrarian societies and mostly farmers in Israel. And so the beginning of their harvest seasons and different things. So actually, in the spring is the new year in Judaism, but the spiritual new year is tonight. So there is a spiritual significance to this holiday. According to Jewish tradition, and this is just Jewish tradition, many things happened on this night, on Rosh Hashanah, the spiritual new year. Number one, they say that Adam and Eve were created on Rosh Hashanah. They say that the floodwaters dried up. Remember the big flood that we had Noah and his family go in with all the animals. The floodwaters dried up on Rosh Hashanah, it's said. Enoch was taken by God. Remember Enoch in Genesis? One of the few people that didn't die. He was taken up by God. Jewish tradition says he was taken up by God on this night. Sarah, Rachel, and Samuel, the prophet, were all conceived on Rosh Hashanah, is what tradition says. Joseph was freed from prison by Pharaoh on Rosh Hashanah. The forced labor of the Hebrews in Egypt ended on Rosh Hashanah. This is an interesting one. Job contracted leprosy on Rosh Hashanah. It's not really a good thing, but it's in there. And the last thing is the start of sacrifices on the altar built by Ezra. Remember Ezra? We talked about Ezra. Ezra was a prophet, or he was a leader of the people who's actually a scribe. And during the Babylonian exile, when the first temple was destroyed, the Jews were sent in exile to Babylon for several years. When they came back, Ezra reinstituted the sacrificial system in Jerusalem. He actually put a lot of things in. He started the concept of the synagogue, which we have today. But anyway, the start of sacrifices on the altar built by Ezra are said to have started up again on Erev Rosh Hashanah. And there's a couple of themes for Rosh Hashanah, very concurrent, and you're going to see them throughout. One overarching theme of Rosh Hashanah is repentance, and one theme is this concept of regathering and renewing. So repentance and renewal and regathering. So here's what I want to do. We have two services, tonight and tomorrow. Tonight I want to talk about repentance, and tomorrow I want to talk about this concept of regathering and renewal. So Rosh Hashanah is said to be a time when Israel takes stock of their spiritual condition. That's what Judaism teaches. As I mentioned, the preceding month is called Elul, E-L-U-L. It is a month of reflection, and there's a lot of things that happen in Elul in Judaism. It's a really a preparation month. In Orthodox Judaism, which is the most stringent form of Judaism, if you will, where they practice things more to the letter of the law, you'll see they have baths in Israel and in Brooklyn and other places, very Jewish places. And what they do is the men, the religious men, they will actually go and they will do mikvah, which is basically baptism or immersion. They will do this through the month of Elul to prepare themselves spiritually. So it's a time of reflection, it's a time of looking back, and it's a time in Elul where you're getting ready for this new year in Rosh Hashanah and Tishrei. And it's very interesting because there's 40 days from the first day of Elul until the end, until Yom Kippur. Okay? So remember, Elul is about a month long, so it's about 30 days. And from now, Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur is 10 days. And these 10 days, we'll talk about it more at Yom Kippur, these are called the days of awe. So you count them all together, that's 40. 40 days. And 40 is a very significant number in Judaism. You know, there's books written on numerology and different things, but Judaism is very much tied to tradition, but also tied to significance in numbers. And 40 is a very significant number. There was 40 days, as I said, from the first day of Elul to Yom Kippur. In tradition, Moses ascended Mount Sinai on the first of Elul, and he came down on Mount Sinai and Yom Kippur with the second set of tablets. Remember, there was two sets of tablets. The first set of tablets, he came down. The people had constructed a golden calf. They had melted all their gold and things, and they made this golden calf, and they were praying and whatever to it. And he got so mad, the tablets were thrown down and destroyed. He went back up to the mountain, got a second set of tablets, came down. So he went up, tradition says, on the first of Elul, came down on Yom Kippur. That's a 40-day period. Very significant. Some other things happen in Judaism that have the number 40. For 40 years, Israel was in the wilderness. Remember, when they left Egypt, it says they left Egypt at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, but there was 40 years that they were in the wilderness. And also significant is there was 40 days where Yeshua, our Messiah, Jesus, was tempted in the desert by the enemy. Remember that when he started his earthly ministry? You can read it in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, where he goes in the desert and he's tempted. And the enemy comes to him, the devil comes to him, and he's throwing all these scripture verses at him, and Yeshua's trying to decipher, and he hasn't eaten, he hasn't drank anything. So he's in the desert for 40 years. He had just come to be baptized. He had just started his ministry. He was ready to go to proclaim the word of God. And I always think it's interesting that the very first thing he does then goes into the desert. And he has a time, this 40-day time. Immediately goes into the wilderness. And when he comes out of the wilderness, this is his message, Matthew 4:17. From that time, Yeshua began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent. So there's an interesting parallel with Yeshua's time of preparation of 40 days in that wilderness to Rosh Hashanah and this idea of repentance and this 40 days from the first of Elul going through Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. There is nothing in Judaism that was without significance. Everything means something. Okay, everything means something, and there's deep meanings to Judaism, sometimes layers of meanings in Judaism. So I think it's really interesting that Yeshua, before he begins this powerful ministry of showing the people the Lord and showing the people himself, he comes preaching right out of that with a message of repentance. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Repentance is defined as deep sorrow, compunction, or contrition for a past sin, wrongdoing, or the like. So it's deep sorrow for a past sin. And on Rosh Hashanah, we come before God and we assemble together and we come, we should be coming, we need to come with repentant hearts, reflecting on the last year, coming out of Elul into Tishrei, into Rosh Hashanah, into this holiday season with repentant hearts, with our hearts in the right place, sorrowful for past mistakes, ready to move forward with the Lord. And there's a really beautiful tradition that we're going to do tomorrow. And it's called Tishlach. And it arose from a rabbi in the 16th century. So it's hundreds of years old. There's this rabbi named Rabbi Isaac Luria. He began a Jewish tradition that is still practiced today, and you're going to find it. You'll find it throughout the known world in Judaism tomorrow. People are going to take time to celebrate Tashlich. This is where they go to a river or some type of running water, which we're going to do tomorrow, and they turn their pockets inside out to empty crumbs. And then they take crumbs or breadcrumbs or stones, and they throw them into the water. And this symbolizes our sins being thrown away. Our sins are being taken from us and carried away when we confess and we repent. Again, this whole idea of repentant hearts. And Tashlich is really taken from the book of Micah. That's where this particular rabbi got this concept of Tashlich. And the book of Micah, I've studied a lot, and it's a wonderful book. I liked it so much I named a son of mine after it. I have a son named Micah. The book of Micah is all about sin, repentance, and redemption. Sin, repentance, and redemption. It tells the story of Israel, really at the time, Israel and Judah, the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes, falling into deep sin, and then the redemption that can come through the Lord. And so this rabbi, Rabbi Luria, was very inspired by the book of Micah, and specifically Micah chapter 7, verses 18 through 20, and that's where he created this Tashlich service. Let's read that. Micah 7, 18 through 20. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. Now that is so beautiful to me, because this is in the Old Testament. You know how people say, oh, the Old Testament is where God is a God of anger and wrath, and the New Testament is all about love and peace. Well, the whole Bible is one. And the whole Bible shows love and peace, and also the other side as well. But, you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's so beautiful, these words in the book of Micah. He's going to have compassion on us again. And remember, Israel was in really deep sin in the book of Micah. Very deep sin. To the point where the northern tribes were just kind of carried off, and we really hear nothing from them again. And there's all these theories about who are the lost tribes and all this kind of stuff. But Judah and the whole concept in Micah is we can always come back to the Lord. And God has compassion on us. And in his steadfast love, he has sworn to our fathers. And that's just so beautiful to me. And that's why I think this rabbi was really touched, and he made this whole Tashlich service that's done throughout traditional Judaism. So coming to God with a repentant heart is important, but you have to want to come to God with a repentant heart. You can't just come in and expect God to get you ready for Rosh Hashanah. You can't just come in and say, all right, I showed up, I'm here. You know, that's what we say a lot of times, whether it's in Judaism or Christianity or whatever. It's like, I'm doing what I have to do, God. We can't have a repentant heart when we have folded arms and a bad attitude before the Lord, because we're literally blocking God from working in our lives. We're blocking the power of God when we're closed to God and we don't have a repentant heart. Before there can be renewal, before there can be regathering, there's got to be repentance. Repent is what Yeshua said, for the kingdom of heaven is near. He didn't say, okay, get ready and do all these wonderful things and then I'm gonna do my thing. He said, repent. He could have said a million things to start off his ministry, but he's used that word, repent, first. And that's significant, preparing your heart. A big theme in Judaism is what's called teshuva. Teshuva is a concept of turning from our sins to God, turning from the wrong to the right. And it literally means turning from our sins from one direction and going 180 degrees the other direction. That's what teshuva is. And it's very big, this concept in Judaism. And at this time of the year, we need to remember this concept of teshuva, preparing our hearts, having a repentant attitude, because then we'll be able to receive what God has for us with these high holidays. then we'll be able to receive the renewal, the regathering to Him. It all starts with a change of heart and then a change of action. Let's look at 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God wants us to reach repentance. He wants us to have a repentant attitude at this time. He does not want to just, oh, I'm done with these people. You upset me for the last time. I'm done with you. You know, you're dead to me. He doesn't say that. He says He is slow to anger, but He wants all to reach repentance. That is what God wants. And our faith, our walk, everything that we're about as Messianic believers, right, is about walking with the Lord. And it's about a heart walk with the Lord. It's not about how many good deeds we do, even though Judaism today teaches that, traditional Judaism. They talk about, you know, the scales, and I've done more good than bad for the year, so I'm written in the book of life. It's not about how many good deeds we do or how good of a person we are. You could be the best person in the world and miss the boat because you don't have the right attitude. It's all about the heart. Yeshua did not come, as I said, in His earthly ministry to tell our people how to do things better. If that were the case, the Pharisees, by and large, would have been like primo. You know, they would have had it. They would have gotten it. But what did He have the harshest things to say to? It was the Pharisees, because they had the wrong heart. They didn't have a repentant heart. Yeshua was big on repentant hearts, more so than having your life all straight. The Pharisees had their life all straight, some quote unquote, but they didn't have a repentant heart. A repentant heart is more important to God than all the things that we do, even though those things are important. Yeshua came to change our heart. He came saying, repent. He came saying, clean out your hearts, because the kingdom of heaven is near. So tomorrow, as we start talking about renewal, as we start talking about regathering, let's take stock tonight of our spiritual condition. Let's look at our hearts and say, have I repented of the things I need to repent of? Do I have a contrite heart? Am I ready to enter into that time where I'm going to grow closer to Yeshua, where I'm going to learn from the Lord? That's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. Because remember, Yeshua said, repent, because there's something around the corner, the kingdom of heaven. It's at hand. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I just thank You tonight. God, that You are a compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, faithful, Lord God, even when we don't deserve it. Even when we've been so bad this year, even when we don't deserve anything from You, Lord God, You hold out Your hand and You say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Just like You came so many years ago and said that, Lord. At this time of the year, I pray that all of our hearts would be turned towards You, Lord God. I pray that You would turn the hearts of Your Jewish people here in Savannah and all over the world that don't know You, Lord, turn their hearts to You, Lord God. Help them to see that You're a compassionate God, that You love them. But help them to also see at this season that their good deeds and their good works are not enough. They need to have a change of heart. They need a change in their heart condition. And I pray for Israel tonight, Lord God. And I pray for our Jewish people here tonight. And I pray for our congregation. Be with us tonight during this Rosh Hashanah season. Fill our hearts with Your love, Lord God. Prepare us, because You have so much to give us. And I just pray that everyone could just experience Your love more and more through this holiday. We thank You, God. We praise You and give You all the glory and the honor. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen.